spent the last few minutes testing the tech, and there was a little bit of a feedback loop going on. So I think my little, most of you will have met my my microphone that I use when I'm doing like voice print work. That's that guy. I think this one's maybe not working, which would make perfect sense the way that I chuck it around. But anyway, let me just check that everything's where it's meant to be, at least visually, because as always, oh yeah, that looks all right. As always, what happens is it does tend to be a wee bit blurry in the beginning, and then it does clean up a tad. And depending on all the elements, like my computer is behaving itself mostly today, and I think everything's where it's meant to be, so we'll drive on. But if you are here live and anything's going funny, can you please let me know in the comments? And I'm just going to quickly check that you've got volume. Cool. Looking so fast, so good. I'm really excited to be here today. I feel like it's been ages, and I guess it has because we didn't do last week, and I'm sorry about that. I have been struggling with the craziest congestion. And like, I don't know what it is exactly in, I think it was earlier, mid last year. I went to the doctor and was like, I've got this pressure up in my sinuses. And I think there is kind of a bit of a history of sinus issues in my family, but I hadn't been affected or impacted by it. And I just, it was just driving me bonkers. And so I'm a huge advocate, first, of natural remedies. And so I'd always been using a sinus wash or nasal irrigation, whatever you want to call it, pretty much daily. And so that combined with like salt gargling and all my other daily vocal care rituals used to really, you know, hit the spot. So then I ended up having to have an antihistamine daily and some nasal spray. And I was like, is this for 3 months? And she was like, no, just keep taking it as you need it. So it could have been like a forever thing. And so I think on the back end of something, you know, some kind of unwellness, it sort of hung around, and I think I forgot to take, or I ran out of my pills or something. And so I started doing a bit of an experiment to see whether it is something that's perhaps in my diet, like all the things I ask you to do. Review your nutrition. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. I really wanted to pay attention to my hydration because I just think I wasn't drinking enough water. So I'm doing a little experiment. So last week was the first leg of the experiment, which is don't do anything. And yeah, that didn't work, but at least I figured out that it, you know, that I'm not unwell anymore, and that it's a sinus thing that I need to check in with. And so I encourage you to be doing this all the time. Remember, even though we're touching on elements, today is the filter, you know, all the different moving parts still need a little bit of attention, and there's nothing like checking in with your vocal health first, because that is the foundation for a great singing voice. And then the next step is making sure that you're using your instrument as efficiently as possible, which normally means for most singers, releasing tension. So I just kind of want to keep that at the forefront of all of these sessions, is like vocal health first, and then making sure that you're utilizing the right speaking and singing techniques, with the first step being releasing tension. So we've covered all of that jazz. And today we're getting to the point where I really want to talk about filter, which is such a fun thing. I look at it like having my own internal mixing desk. And if you're unfamiliar with that term, you know, when you're at a gig, you plug your microphone into a mixing desk and the sound engineer EQs the monitors and the front of house, and sometimes we'll have two different engineers, one that just looks after what you're hearing on stage, and then the person that's looking after the sound that the audience is hearing. So I am most concerned with my monitoring sound, whether that's using my in-ear monitors or the boxes on the floor, but it's a team effort, so I need to be able to communicate what I want, and I've learned over time, definitely not technically in the right terms, but pretty close, what I like to hear. The cool thing is that me, myself, and I, if all those variables don't align of the place that I'm in, maybe the sound is a bit wonky or we haven't had enough time to set it right, I can fall back on my own internal mixing desk, which is essentially my vocal tract. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to utilize that vocal tract for amazing resonance, for brightening, darkening the sound, for making projection easier, which is definitely a key in being able to sing more efficiently. It's like if you're really trying to push too much air to create a bigger sound, that at the very first phase of power is the area where you might be going wrong, because you might actually be adding too much air pressure for the sound that you're wanting to make. We've talked about that. Refresh on your power and breath management. Oh, which reminds me, how did you or did you get a chance to have a look at the breath management videos? They were recorded a while ago, if I realize how different I look. So yeah, they are still super relevant though, and that is a great step-by-step guide to, you know, look at, focus on, and train your breath management for singing with a view of adjusting it as you adjust notes and as you adjust for the voice qualities that you might want to use. So it's always a dynamic. I think that's the takeaway, is breathing is dynamic. It's not one breath fits all situations. You need to allow your body and yourself the ability to adjust things. And the best way to do that is by monitoring your effort levels the whole time. And so that goes without saying, but that is also a key element of those fundamentals of making sure that you're releasing tension and you're not pushing or tensing to make the sound that you want. Okay. So what did I'm just going to check my notes. What did I want to say? So yes, with looking, reviewing the fundamentals, always flicking back to vocal health and my little tale of assessing my sinus issues, this is the perfect time, which is as we're going into a change of season, to refocus on those things, and vocal health in particular, especially if you suffer from any kind of hay fever or whatever. Might be sneaking behind me. Lenny, chief action taker of Big Nooks Get Boats. In April and September of each year, I actually do a 30-day Get Gig Fit action plan, which is a tip a day, and that usually rolls out on the Big Nooks Get Boats Facebook page. And there is another little group called Big Nooks Get Boats VIPs. So that's just people who have shown like an extra interest in the overall kind of singing thing. So there's tons of musos and all sorts of different people in that group, kind of everyone who just loves singing chat. So you can go ahead and jump into either of those groups as well. But this obviously is the elite group of people that I'm actually working with regularly, or not so regularly. It's a chance, if we haven't seen each other, to keep connected. So that Gig Fit 30-Day Action Plan rolls out the 1st to the 30th of April. So, yeah, I will also be going live weekly in those groups, and these weeklies will actually stop. So we've got until the end of March. I'm going to do two more, and we'll cover the warm-up ideas or warm-up practices. We'll also look at song study and performance tips for, especially for around effective practicing and rehearsing. So how not to blow your voice out before the gig, basically. And then we will move to a monthly session, kind of like the Creative Action Plan workshop that I did a couple of Saturdays ago. So we'll just do one deep dive into something each month, and I will invite you along to participate. What else? I think that's it. I think that is it. So let's just rock into it. And let me just check. Excuse me, clearing my throat when I tell you guys not to. In fact, I'm going to have a sip of water, because the other thing, it's got sparkling. Here we go. The other thing I've been trying to do is hit my water goal, which is like 2.5 liters a day. Woo! I think I probably drink about a liter and a half easy, and I eat a lot of water-dense foods. So, yeah, pushing that extra liter in. And again, this is just part of my flush out your gunkies sinus without meds experiment. But yeah, I think it's important. And you can always, like, you can track in your vocal journal if you want to do something like what I'm doing. And share it with me if you want some accountability or some feedback on it. But yeah, nutrition is a big one. So something that can make people a little phlegmy can be dairy. And also remember, some things that you also consume can dry you out. So anything that's caffeinated or, you know, alcohol, all the good stuff, basically. But it's mine, you know, you want to be mindful just around performances. So in the 72 hours leading up to a big gig, really ramp up your focus on those elements, and then just maintain as best you can with your daily vocal care practices based on what you need. So it's like there are all conventions, and it's very personal because we're all different, obviously, and that is the beauty of it. Okay, so let's get into it. The filter, as I mentioned, I refer to it as my internal mixing desk because it gives me the power to really, in a situation like I described before, when I'm on stage and I'm uncomfortable with the variables and the sound issues that I might be having, I can make sure that I'm able to create sounds and place them or resonate them in the way that I want. So they're coming out, the sound signal that I'm giving into the microphone is the way that I want it. And then the engineers can adjust as they see accordingly, because, you know, the PA is big. You've got a lot of gear to be able to roll in or roll out sonically to help balance things. As long as I'm always working at the most comfortable vocal effort and I feel good and can hear myself, feeling first though, because like if you know what you're feeling for as you're singing, it really helps you to not rely on that sonic feedback. That sonic feedback is your secondary feedback tool. So if I kind of feel good and I know that I'm not tensing or pushing or forcing sound because I can't hear myself, then I know that my instrument's working a lot more efficiently. And the area that we utilize when we are filtering or resonating sound is every space that is above the vocal folds. So that'll be like if my larynx is around here, it'll be everything from there up. So that's a bit of space in my throat, that's in my oral cavity, and in my nasal passages. And you even kind of have a little bit of gap here, but that's more sinuses. So you've got that space to resonate. And as with spaces acoustically that you may have around you, like my house is great because it's quite open and you can kind of hear, it's quite a live sound. It's not very muted or dull. So there's lots of things for it to bounce against. Great for singing in this, in my house when I'm not in my studio, is where we do our singing. And there's a space, you can feel the sound moving around. Or when you're in a bathroom and it's a wee bit smaller or in a really small space, it can feel a lot brighter, and you maybe don't have as much opportunity for resonance. Whereas when you're in a space like this, you've got, it's almost like it's the difference between singing in a cave or singing in a cupboard. And that's basically what your vocal tract can offer you if you utilize the structures that are inside to change the space, to change the shape of your vocal tract. So if you've got more space created, you're going to get a warmer, a fuller sound. And if you make a smaller instrument, you're going to get a brighter, more focused sound. So that's it in a kind of a real basic nutshell. But I'm going to show you on VoicePrint how this works. And that is going to give us a bit more science around the acoustics of how we can do this. I'm also going to show you by demonstrating using some of the voice qualities, because that's a great entry point to, yeah, muck around with things. Okay. Everybody, as I've mentioned before, has default settings. So the default settings. I wonder actually if I've got, let me see if I can just pull up an image of the vocal track before I move on so that you can visualize. I think this is a good one. I was going to play you a video, but it's like a roller, roller, roller long. Yeah, this is good. Let me see if I can get this big and share it. Oh, that's lovely. Okay. One moment, please, caller. Honestly, like an old person using text sometimes. Okay. Let's have a look. And there's some weird ads and stuff going on. So I'll try to just let you isolate and see this. I'm not sure. There's all sorts of ads. You can see what I'm using and watching. Okay, really loosely. Hopefully you can see this. Let me go smaller. All right, so you can see here, if we start from the bottom, you've got your esophagus. That's where the food goes. And then you've got your airway here, trachea. You've got your vocal folds and your ventricular folds, false vocal folds. And then you've got this little epiglottis. And that basically flips over like that to help direct the food and water liquid that we drink away from our airways, our trachea, and into our esophagus, which is then going to go into our stomach. So all of the stuff above this is an opportunity to use this space. You can see how big the tongue is. You've got lips, teeth are also, and the jaw as a whole are also tools that you can utilize when you are singing. And I will demonstrate. And then this guy, let me just move this up. I'm so sorry that this is such a crappy picture with ads in the background. But these are really key elements. I'm kind of doing this on the fly, which is why I don't have one prepared easy. But you can see here your soft palate or velum is there. And you've got this nasal cavity area here. So oral cavity, that could be cavity, but and that's your hard palate there. So all of the space that's above the true vocal folds, the vocal folds, you can use as your resonance chamber. And that essentially, all of that there is the vocal tract. So let me stop sharing this. Cool. And that really helps to understand the space that you've got visually, hopefully. I'll put a better picture in the notes. That was just me quickly riffing. But yeah, if we've got time, I might show you a video. One that you may have seen, actually, one that I was going to post on Facebook. I think I will regardless. Anyhow, I digress. So you can see that the key structures that are there are the jaw, the tongue, the lips, the larynx height position. So how high or how low your larynx is changes the space. So that's all the gadgets all together, the vocal folds, true vocal folds and false vocal folds all together. And also the soft palate. You've also got a sphincter in your throat that helps you swallow that we can call on with care and attention to help us make a smaller space called the aryepiglottic sphincter, or AES for short. And then you've got those false vocal folds which can come in and interrupt the airflow somewhat once it's moving, the sound waves are moving through our vocal folds. So it's getting a little technical, right? However, just all you need to know, or the best thing to think about, is throat, mouth, nasal passages. That's the space that you've got, first and foremost, to think about it. So if we want to, the function of these things, of course, is projection, changing the tonal quality of the voice qualities that we use, so brightening or darkening, and you can also help with projection. So I'm going to show you two of the extreme examples of the extreme voice qualities, sob quality, which is the one that's really, really bad.
It kind of feels like you're crying.
And then twang. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at both of those on the voice print and then my speech quality. And I'm going to show you what they look like. And I'm also going to show you how the frequencies on the voice print or in anywhere that you're looking at a spectrograph, the voice print tool is that of a spectrograph. You're going to see how the vocal tract actually kind of correlates with that. So let's do that because that is a ton of fun. And if we work together, you know, we will, no matter where we are in a session, I find it great to use the voice print as much as possible. Let me, I just have to jump between a couple of pages to get all of this happening. So forgive my, there we go. I'm getting quicker. Give me that much, right? I think after, what is this, like a 10th session or something? I'm getting quicker. Okay, so I'm going to show you, I'm just going to get a little piano, because one of the things that's really important to remember is that all of the voice qualities, once you have an idea and a control, you're able to master the control of the different coordinations, you should be able to do any voice quality at any pitch. Some are just easier to demonstrate at certain pitches because that's what we've kind of developed through speaking, or perhaps our default settings in singing as well. And I was talking about default settings before, that you can often tell a lot about someone's vocal tract default settings by the way that they speak. So maybe if they're down a little bit blocked up, you know, kind of like they've got a bit of a blocked nose, it means that the door to the nasal passages is quite closed. And you, that's called being nasal. So if it's completely closed, you sound like hearing. It's very hard to hear the articulations. So go to nasal in the vocal tract, and you're actually not getting enough resonance. You're not getting enough sound waves in the frequencies that the ear likes to hear, which is between 2 and 4K, and I'll explain that in a sec. You can nasalize the sound a little bit, which definitely helps for some elements of projection. That's a part of twang quality. But you have to be sure that you've got control of that soft palate so that it's not becoming too, like, it sounds like, you know, like this kind of sound, where, you know, when people talk like this, you can hear them. I can't even, if I over nasalize, you can't even hear me, hear my articulation. So I block my nose. That's the best way to demo it. So when you hear somebody that does sound like they've got a blocked nose when they're speaking, they might be sick, but they could also just have a default setting of a slightly closed soft palate. So if it's closed, that means that the ear, open, that means that the ear is predominantly going into their nasal passages and it doesn't have the opportunity to resonate in the biggest area, which is your oral cavity and your throat. So really the loudest sound is anything that's going to be allowed to resonate in the biggest spaces. So that's your oral cavity and in the space above your larynx. You can certainly direct some of the sound waves into your nasal passages to brighten the tonality, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be louder if you over nasalize and you open that door to the nose so much, the soft palate so much. It's called something else, but I'm not going to confuse things. But basically, it's like a little port. It's called the velopharyngeal port. And that little door, if it's too far open, it just allows too much air to go into the nasal passages. And then you're over nasalized. You're nasalizing it. It's too nasal and you don't want that. And it is confusing because we do refer to twang sometimes as nasal, but I want you to start thinking in three phases. I'd love you to think about something being nasal, and that's where it's like, oh, can't hear anything. Second phase is nasalized. That's the halfway point. So that's going to give you a little bit of brightness. And then the third stage is oral, and that is full resonance in your mouth and in your throat. So let me show you what that looks like. On the voice print here, you can see you've got the kilohertz down the side. And if we were to line up this along the side of our face, it would correlate, just above zero would correlate with our vocal vault, so the fundamental tone, where the tone or the sound is starting. And then you would get, this is like here above, this is the space above the vocal folds. And then you're starting to get into the oral cavity here. And then you're starting to get here into the nasal passages. Anything above that, and you're going to start, it's too nasal. It'll be nasal and you won't get as much clarity. It'll be bright, but it definitely won't have any clarity in your vowels. And that's what we want in the singing. So what does that look like? Well, I'm going to show you. So I'm going to do it on the same pitch. I know I'm jumping all over the shots. Actually like a lesson then, isn't it? So I'm going to try to do it on C4. Please try it along with me if you like. But I'm going to show you what it looks like on voice print. And we are going to do just the vowels. So I'm going to do it just in my speech quality, right? Cool. That's what my speech quality looks like. Let me just check that. Write this down a bit. Okay, a little bit of breath. That's what that fuzz is. You can see a bit of breath coming through. And to be honest, I'm not surprised there's actually what it's called is interharmonic noise. So it means that something's getting in the way of those harmonics. Could be my slightly blocked up kind of sinus passages, but I'm sure that would really show a wee bit. No, it might be able to show there. I'm not 100% sure. Or I'm just quite breathy as a person. But it could be, you know, there's a lot going on when you're reading these voice prints. So the for example, the front end of that there is the onset. You've got the offset here. I can tell the different position of my larynx, where the brightness is. So that looks to me like I had a nice mid-larynx when I do speech quality. Okay, let's flip the script. And in context, let me also, the last thing to notice is the sound wave here, the sine wave, is showing the volume. So really how big the sound is, the signal is. Let me do a sob quality, and I'll play it back in a bigger, turn the time out so you can see it a bit bigger. But so I'll go back to my trusty, here we go. So I'm going to sob now. Alrighty, let's make this a little bit bigger. Okay, sorry. I can't not do the face, by the way. What is going on here? Is this me testing it earlier on? Okay. So because I was lowering my larynx,
creating a bit more space, lower, closer,
you're seeing that I'm losing some of the presence in the upper harmonic partials. So if we were talking about this being here, the space above the larynx, very loosely, this being our oral cavity and this being our sort of nasal passages, you can see that really, that's a very dark sound and one that actually gave way for a bit more breath in my because they're already kind of the tongue, the position of the tongue shapes those that your mouth is already directing the sound to resonate in the back of your mouth. Like R's in the middle of your mouth, air E tends to be a bit further forward because of the position of your tongue moving up a little higher. And that means that the sound, there's just not that same space in your mouth to resonate. And then all back in the mouth. So depending on the vowel as well too, you have already a predisposition to a brightness or a darker sound. And we can play with that, though. We can modify the vowels slightly if we need to. But that's a story maybe for later if we have time. Okay, so let's go to the opposite end of the scale. If I'm going to open the door to my nasal passages and have a mid position for my soft palate, what that means is that we should really see a little bit more presence in these upper harmonic partials. And now I'm going to twang, which is not only the soft palate, it's also that AES sphincter that I was talking about. So I'm kind of doing two things. But I want you to just focus on what is actually coming out. Let's go. And get my pitch right, sorry. It's going to work. Got it in just before the helicopter went past. Okay, so you can see the difference there. If I can get this, let me see if I can get 25 seconds on this. What is going on over there? Okay, so this is me when I'm doing a speech quality. That's me just every day and day. Let's look first from the top to the bottom. You can see here the signal that I'm giving is quite balanced and it's a pretty good volume. It's sort of like down here, that's 52 decibels. All of this is at the most comfortable vocal effort as well, by the way. I'm not really trying too hard to make these sounds. Then when I went to a sob, yeah, it definitely changed the signal that I was giving out. But then you'll notice as I started to move a little bit more to these, I don't know what I was doing there, but as I'm moving towards these warmer, naturally darker vowels, there's a bit more balance. It's like it all aligns because it's more comfortable in that particular coordination. But the volume hasn't dropped too much. So like I'm not being, my point is I'm not kind of pushing harder or doing anything differently. Same effort levels, changing the quality of the tone from the same pitch from voice quality to voice quality. Here we go. Now, what else you see that's quite telling is you see a little bit more brightness here and a little bit more breath, which there is some here already. But it's much brighter. And so that's showing you that my larynx is moving up a little bit because I was doing that AES, especially in those two. Just they, like these ones here, have a bit more oomph in the or and oo. These ones here, this is e. And see, they just brighten up because my tongue position and the shape that I'm making to create that vowel is already quite bright. So you can see there that that's just like pinging already. It was quite cool to see that I think this is because I was using a lot of AES, is quite bright here. So I know for me maybe a bit more AES, which is that it's more here in the throat rather than up in the nose. But you can use a combination of both, and it's just practice. The best practice is just singing with twang quality, and you can find the AES twang, AES, yeah, twang, by going, nay, 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 nay. You feel it a little bit here like nay, nay. It's a bit more here in your throat. Versus like cackling like a witch, which might be a little bit more, you might feel it, or crying like a baby, you might feel it a bit more triggering the soft palate, like, wah, wah, wah. That's so much more of a nasalized sound where the nay, 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 still nasal, but you are really making a smaller instrument in the larynx, which is what's giving that a particular brightness. So if I showed you the difference. In fact, if I I don't know if I'm as skilled as I'd like to be to demonstrate this, but you can see the difference between more AES versus more twang, you know, when you're using the voice print. The bottom line is there are colors in between this, and I am being very extreme about it. In a nutshell, you know, lowering your larynx is, or sobbing for cry quality, for sob quality, is going to give you a more space to resonate the sound and immediately a darker sound. Raising your larynx and adding a little AES and then even adding a little soft palate action is definitely going to nasalize the sound, which will definitely trigger a little bit more. But remember, if you get too nasal, and I should probably demonstrate this to you actually, if you get too nasal, you're really not going to get anything going on. So let me show you. I need to do it a little bit better. Let me try that again. It's too good. You know what I mean? Like, not nasal enough. So you see that? When that door to the nasal passages is completely open, you just get nothing. You actually don't brighten the sound at all. You actually dull the sound. So finding that balance between nasal and nasalized is a really key distinction for helping you find different ways of projecting your voice. That is the twang element is one of the best ways. Now, I may have encouraged you in the past to use this in your speaking voice, especially when you're in the club, to hear yourself above those bass boosted frequencies. So when you're in the club, in a bar or whatever, you're probably, the music is probably, because the ear loves the loves hearing the voice around 2 to 4K. So when you're in the club, now I have not looked for the specifics, this is me generalizing, you are probably getting this spectrum here between 0 and 3K very well covered. So if you need your voice to be heard above that, it makes sense. Rather than forcing more sound and throwing more energy at this spectrum, which is already full, let's place ourselves slightly above the spectrum by adding a little bit of nasality. Like, no one's going to really know. They're just going to almost feel like that there's a clarity to your tone and there's a balance. I can't not do the Australian accent. I'm sorry. I clearly not have control over myself and my voice. But yeah, so these are great tools. Also, if you're in rock music, playing with a lot of guitars, depending on where the frequency of the guitar sits, you can utilize your twang quality and varying degrees of the twang to get yourself sweet wherever there's a gap. So Robert Plant is a great example of that. Like Led Zepp's is so guitar driven, and he really sits his voice. So you know he's. I'm rolling, baby, I'm not ruling. I'll send you back to school and way down inside, honey, I need. Now, I'm overdoing it, you know. But you can hear that nasality is so much, nasalization is so much greater, and that would so get above that, you know, the guitar-heavy riffs that are a majority of Led Zepp songs, which is awesome. So does that make sense? I don't know if anyone is on live today. I'm just going to refresh to have a look to see. No questions. Please ask me questions if you have any. But that's kind of it. Like, I want you to play around with the extremes first. So you can do this by singing Happy Birthday. You can do it with the vowel sounds. I'll post the links to VoicePrint because they actually, I'm just going to stop sharing my screen. They actually do a great version for iPad, which is relatively, you know, like affordable. I think it's about $30. And it's a cool tool to practice with. Let me just stop sharing. Cool. Yeah, so One of the other ways that you can utilize, if you're wanting, say, more projection, which most people do want, and this is different to power. So power, in the sense of like big voice, definitely comes from not pushing more air. It's about getting the right amount of air on vocal folds that are actually touching. If there's a gap in between them, like if you're super breathy, it's going to be so much harder to get a loud sound simply because your vocal folds aren't able to vibrate efficiently. So the first thing, if you want more power, is to make sure that your breath is in check, and that means that you're being dynamic and adjusting for the different, adjusting your breath based on what it's meeting on the way out. So if you're going for high notes, you're not going to need a lot of air because those vocal folds are going, the muscles and ligaments of the vocal folds certainly are going to be lengthened. If you are going for lower notes, those the musculature and the ligaments of the vocal folds are going to be thicker or shorter, and that is going to take a little bit more energy or air pressure to vibrate. So for starters, less air on the high notes, more air on the low, or air pressure, I should say, on the low notes. So that's a rule of thumb for powering the voice. And then the next step is, how do you use the filter to affect it in the way that you want? So like that internal mixing desk. We've talked about the vocal tract, also including your lips. I mentioned the tongue because of the position of the tongue when we say certain vowels, and I'll put an international phonetic chart into the group as well too, so you can see where all the different vowels are formed. It'll say like the middle of the mouth front, or the middle of the mouth middle, the middle of the mouth back, and that's where the tongue position and the shaping of the mouth is. And that can be quite helpful to kind of help visualize, like, what the heck is my body doing? Or, of course, the best thing is to watch yourself and see what your tongue does, and also see what your jaw does. So the other two elements with the jaw in particular is the position. With vowels, like, just allowing your jaw to open is always good, because sometimes, like, Kiwis are quite good at just, like, kind of talking with the back of the throat, you know, and keeping the mouth closed. So opening your mouth is going to instantly give you more space to resonate because you've got a bigger space. The other thing is that this often comes with acting or in caricature, the position, or even, to be fair, different accents or, languages, certain accents and languages. You know, the French, they speak with their lips pursed a little bit more, and so it kind of sounds, a little bit darker because you're creating a longer instrument. And I'm changing my vowels, forgive me. I have one student, Ellie, who is from France, and she's probably just rolling in her eyes right now. But, you know, if you, like, purse your lips, you're creating a little bit longer of a vocal tract. Yes, you're also making it smaller. So it's, you know, it's playing around with those extreme ends of your vocal tract, like your lips. And then you've also got the jaw position in the sense of forward, like you're jutting, or kind of like the Godfather when he talks like that. It gives you a whole different tonality. And again, I am doing extremes because I'm doing caricatures, you know, or like if I go side on, I'll do my very best. Mid, drop. Sometimes you need that. And you can monitor your effort levels in each of these position changes. So, you know, if you're pursing your lips, so that's really hard work. You know, if you're doing the selfie face, that it might give you an amazing character quality if you're acting or speaking. But certainly for singing, you might need it for a syllable here and there, sure. But generally speaking, I would start with mid position for everything, lips and jaw, unless you want to explore or really change the shape of the vocal tract to play around with the options. And you can, I mean, you can see singers that have beautiful full lips. It really, I believe, is a contributing factor towards their unique signature sound. So rather than, trying to force yourself into a mid position, if your lips naturally protrude, let them work for you. You know, that's part of your sound. The Georgia is a little bit different. I think you want to be mindful that it's not jaw tension, because so many singers have jaw tension and tongue root tension. But I would start first with mid position and try to get that as your default setting, and then just tweak outside of that as needed for effect. The last thing, the teeth and the tongue, the tip of the tongue, can really play a great role in articulation in certain elements. So if you, or diction in particular, so if you are over-articulating and really making sure you're hitting those plosives and the fricatives, you know, that in itself allows a little bit of a punctuation, almost like a pop or emphasis to the words that you're speaking. So remember, though, the vowels are what we predominantly sing on, and the tongue and the teeth and the lips, when they're forming consonants, actually interrupt the airflow to help us form the entire word. So the teeth, the tongue and the lips do the consonants, and the shaping of our mouth and the tongue position helps with the vowels. So hopefully that makes sense. I will post a ton of stuff up in the group under the units resources section so that you've got some visuals. So I think it's quite helpful. But if you bear with me, I'm going to show you a video, which I will also post into the group. But I just thought this was really cool. It's very quick. It's maybe about 2 minutes long, and it will really give you an insight. Into the vocal tract in use and the, oh, it's 4 minutes long. That's all right. And the actual, the change of the sound. This is what it looks like if I could x-ray the side of my head, which is essentially what an MRI is. Let me share my screen. A moment, please, caller. And I'm just going to put my headphones in so that I can actually hear what is happening. So funny to see what is in people's individual threads in YouTube. There we go.
Ross, I'm a singer, voice teacher, and vocologist in New York City. And using the magic of MRI technology, I want to show you what it looks like inside my head and neck while I'm singing. But first, let me warm up on a lip trill. How about a raspberry? Weird, right?
Yeah.
You want to see that on an oo vowel?
Yes, please.
Now, before I go any further, let's try to figure out what it is.
I have to interrupt. So you see that tongue position changing. Woo! So pick one structure that we've talked about today. The tongue, the larynx position, the soft palate, the lips. All of those elements, and you can't see the AES working in this, so that's the only structure you can't see. But have a pick one thing and watch the video through one at a time. But he's going to isolate for you and show you.
This is we're actually seeing here. Let's go back inside and see if we can identify some of the features of the vocal tract. Lips, tongue. This difficult to control piece of anatomy is called the velum or the soft palate, but you can think of it as the nose gate. It opens and closes, controlling the flow of air and sound up into the nasal cavity. In most people, the velum is opening and closing constantly when we speak and sing, and we're barely even aware of it. Down here, we have the larynx, which houses the vocal folds. Now let's see what happens inside the vocal tract when we sing with contrasting singing strategies. I'm going to sing the end of Nessun Dorma, Puccini's great aria. I'm going to sing it in four different vocal styles. The first will be in a light mix.
I just want to point out here that even though the terminology is slightly different, you will be able to see the correlating voice qualities. So I would say that light mix might be a combination of like speech quality and some form of twang potentially, or it might be cry quality and some form of twang. Opera is opera. He does a rock belt, which is most definitely a speech quality with a little bit of twang rolled in. With some filtering changes, like a little bit more AES, so a bit more of an oral twang versus a nasalized twang, because there are two kinds. Let me show you.
The second, in a forward-facing Broadway sound. The third, in a back-and-down operatic sound. And the fourth, in a style that will make Puccini roll in his grave, in a rock style.
All'alba vincerò, vincerò. Okay. Whoops, yeah. So this is more of a head voice with a little bit of kind of maybe twang rolled in. Vincerò. Yeah, so that was, so that was definitely more of a cry quality with a little bit of a nasalization happening. And then with this forward here, this is a bit more twangy, I guess.
Alba vincerò, vincerò, vincerò.
So maybe like a belt, perhaps, I would call it.
All'alba vincerò, vincerò, vincerò.
He's got good lips.
All'alba vincerò, vincerò, vincerò.
Okay, so in that one, that's most definitely an oral twang belt, rock belt. What you're basically seeing is that from syllable to syllable, the voice quality can actually change. And so you don't have to utilize all of the tools all at once. They can switch. And that's why we do things like the sirens to stretch and create agility in our voice so that at least the vocal fold body cover can move into those different positions. And then the relaxation helps to get those false vocal folds out of the way and certainly gets us more free in allowing our larynx to move up and down. And then the rest is really just practice. Figuring out, you know, how to utilize that soft palate, which we might have done together, utilizing the NG, the exercise and blocking and pinching our nose. I might do a spotlight on that, but I can take you through it if we have time. Oh, darn. I might just stop talking and let it play through, eh?
What you're looking at here are comparative images of the same vowel being sung at the same moment in each vocal style. This is a frozen moment showing my vocal tract singing the A vowel on a high B flat. Now, for those of you who are interested, that's the A, as in
vincerò.
Let's listen to it on a loop. Take a moment to see for yourself how the anatomical features of the vocal tract that we can see here align differently in each style. How is the tongue positioned differently? How about the velum? The mouth opening? How about the height of the larynx?
And then he's going to do some real cool vocal stuff. But yeah, you can see, you are visualizing the difference between the voice qualities there. So yeah, I think the light mix is definitely more of a head voice with a little bit of twang. the rock is 100% like a belt with twang in it. The opera is a sob quality position for the larynx. And it, so opera often does have all sorts of other things going in. And so the voice quality is, you know, it's a cry, but with the lower larynx, which is what sob is. And then I can't remember what he called the other one, but, oh, forward. Yeah, 100% like a speech quality with twang, I would say. I'll have a look at it better to determine, but that is what I think. So, yeah, let me come back. And I mentioned about the soft palate exercises with the last few minutes that we've got, because I don't know if anyone's online, so that means maybe there won't be questions. So let me give you a few minutes. So when you're checking, if you're controlling the movement of that soft palate, which is probably the main one that we want to get a little bit of control over before we add anything else, is that I want you to do an NG sound, like, and if you can block the airflow, then that means that you have opened that little door, the soft palate, to the nasal passages so much that only air is coming out through there, and you are able to stop it completely. Then we're going to do an and if you can pinch your nose and there is zero interruption in the sound or the airflow, then that's great, because then that means that that door to the nasal passages is closed. No air is coming through. So then the control comes from having it at that midpoint when the door is half open, half closed. And so what happens is, or half open is probably better terminology. What happens is that when we pinch our nose, we should hear like a little an interruption in the airflow, but I won't be able to stop it completely if I pinch it shut. So I'm going to find it, and you can practice going from R to NG and NG to R. I'm better with the ascent than I am with the descent. That wasn't too bad. And I have a super active tongue, which is why I just relax it out the way. And the goal is to watch what your tongue does. So if I was going, and moving my tongue back, that would actually just be me kind of closing my throat off with my tongue. Because you can, like, if you push your tongue too far back, it's like, we don't need that. Oh, there's Lenny. We definitely don't want that. So if you find that you're getting that kind of completely kind of sound, get that tongue out the way and just let it relax. So we start with I can feel my tongue wanting to move, so naughty. And then that practice of going to the R to the NG and then back down will help you to learn how to control and what the feeling is meant to be. But let's check. Once I get to halfway, let me check and see if I can actually interrupt the airflow. Win. And that's how you can check. So I could still make the sound. Sounded a little bit nasalized, but I wasn't completely stopping it when I did the cool, winning it live. So that's the exercise that you want to use to be able to control the soft palate. And that would be something I'd get you to try. Send me videos if you want. You know I like to see your siren videos and most certainly the soft palate practice, which some of you are doing. I have already asked and I really appreciate it. Let me think, is there anything else? Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned this, but just in case I didn't, I am creating a voice qualities in action page that I will send out this Sunday with the weekly email in lieu of the scale of the week. Because I realized, like, I'm making them, but really you should probably spend a bit more time workshopping the scales if you are utilizing them. If you have feedback about those, if they're boring, as I've said before, I'm going to try and do some different stuff, put some beats and stuff behind them. But start with those because they're super basic. Put them together. And if you're maybe in the warm-up live, we'll go through them together and I'll sing through them with you and give you an example. Plus, I could also give instruction over the warm-ups, which I have been asked before. Like people would say, oh, yeah, I just basically want to be reminded of what I'm meant to be doing. And that's how some traditional vocal exercises are delivered. But yeah, you'll get this voice qualities page, and it's just going to, I'm going to show you snippets of YouTube, or I'll link YouTube videos, and I will show you maybe first what I think I'll do is I'll link to the YouTube videos, and I'll get you to tell me what voice qualities you think are happening. And then I might do a video where it's like a screen and screen record of me talking about the different voice qualities, kind of like I just did in this singing in the MRI video. I hope you found that helpful. As always, let me know if you've got any questions. And I'm looking forward to, obviously I didn't go on my daughter's camp. So if you're interested in getting some online sessions, I have some slots open tomorrow, literally just open them up because I had put the time off today, tomorrow and Friday to go on camp. And then I think just as an FYI, there might only be Thursday slots available till the end of the month. And if you're wanting like a Saturday, they'll come swinging through in April. Please feel free to book in advance. You can select the offline payment option if you're not flush or don't want to, you know, sort things out in that moment, and I can send you an invoice after the session. But yeah, book them in advance because you just need to give me 48 hours notice to cancel. And if you do want a slot that isn't available, let me know because I have created a wait list to show you to be able to jot down if anything does become available, then I can give you a heads up. Alrighty, I think that's everything. You may have noticed a new interface. I've changed the skin of my booking calendar. Hopefully it's helpful. And it kind of looks a bit better, but if you've got any questions around that and anything in general, holler at your girl. Have a wicked day. Keep warm and safe. Let me say goodbye. And I will see you next week.